universal truths, and you know, it's they transcend cultures and time and theologies. And in the 12-step program for people struggling with you know, some form of substance, there's, you know, Overeaters Anonymous, you know, Narcotics Anonymous, all kinds of different things. And one of them is you have to have an attitude of gratitude. And it's so easy to, you know, roll your eyes at things like that. But it is important to remember that life is good, that the Lord has created a good thing for us. And we focus on the littlest things, or even things that are big, should not keep us from remembering the intrinsic goodness of life. It is very good, and we need to remember that. We got to have an attitude of gratitude, not so that we can be a quote-unquote good person, but so that we can enjoy the bounty. Emilio and I used to joke, Judd and I used to joke, there was this old like gospel preacher back in the day that was on TV, and he would say, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And, you know, we kind of like chuckled about it. But it's true. It's just true. And as a young man, in my cynicism, I kind of rolled my eyes at the theatricality of this guy. But it was just flat out true. He has created this day for us. And we need to rejoice in that. Not to please him, but for our own good, for our own sake. So we're going to talk about gratitude. And we're going to start out by talking about the enemy, Todd. I'm going to start with John chapter 8, verse 48. If you want to follow along, you can, or I can just read it for you. Pick up from 47, 46. "Which one of you convicts me of sin? I speak the truth." Jesus is performing miracles as he often does. And the local populace is getting upset with him. "Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason you do not hear them, because you are not of God." The Jews answered and said to him, "Do we not say rightly that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. But I do not seek my glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, and the prophets also. And you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Surely you are not greater than our father Abraham, who died. The prophets died too. Whom do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. And you do not, and you have not come to him to know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I will be a liar like you. But I do not know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was born, I am." We talked about this last week. Jesus talks again and again about being, a state of being. But we get so caught up in thinking about what will happen or what has happened that we lose our state of being. When I was at Trader Joe's last night, I was working, and they had me do a job that I don't particularly like. I was changing the trash. Can you believe it, Todd? Me! The trash! You gotta humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. So I was changing the trash and mopping the bathrooms and throwing a big old pity party. It's like, I can't believe this. You know, 41 years old, mopping this floor. right? And then I started thinking of what I was going to get to do once I was done with this drudgery. Started daydreaming. Well, this is, you know, get off tonight, have church tomorrow, and that'll be good, and blah, 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 blah. And all of a sudden, my mind started running off from the present time. Dreaming of the good things that'll come. But in that state, as long as I'm thinking about what good things will come, you may think, well, that's not bad. You're just optimistic for the future. But as long as I'm thinking about what will be, I am not being here and now. If I can find a way to make myself be present and be grateful for that present state of mind, then regardless of my situations, I will find peace and happiness. And that is so much more valuable than the thing that I will get to do when I get home. You understand? The Lord is giving us something that you cannot buy. It's peace of mind, regardless of your current circumstances. How many times have you been in a business meeting or at work or doing something that you didn't want to do, and you think to yourself, soon as this terrible thing that sucks is over, then I will be happy. Soon as I get this job, soon as I meet this person, as soon as I go on vacation. But as long as you have a set date for when your happiness begins, you will not currently be happy, or you will not live in the fullness of the happiness you could know. It's only by training ourselves to be grateful for our current circumstances that we're able to move into a tangible and meaningful peace. And when and if you can do that, not only will you reap the rewards of it, but the people around you who are in misery will see it and come and ask you, how on earth can you manage to be so happy while you're changing the bathroom trash, Gabe? Well, it's funny you should say that. The Lord gives me help. The Lord, like those televangelists, no, brother. It is so much more than that. It is not a cliche. It's not a bumper sticker. It is a real, tangible truth. But somewhere along the line, we've been robbed. We've been lied to. We've been bamboozled. Jesus speaks of Satan, and he says, he is the father of lies, and he is the father of the lie. The lie that you cannot be happy, that you cannot connect with the Holy Spirit until something happens. If you look at a child when they're very young, I work at a middle school, they are excited to be here. We have a meeting or something, and the people say, all right, everybody's going to get this blue ribbon. Yeah! They love it. They're just like stoked to be involved and part of the situation, right? You get to be line leader. Yeah! They're full of joy and happiness. They're also often filled with tears and pouting. But they're filled with an unbridled joy that we lose somewhere along the way. I look at middle schoolers, and if I said, everybody who does this gets a blue ribbon, they would kill me with their daggers. I would just be impaled to the wall. Because right around middle school and high school, the devil starts to lie to them. Starts to whisper things about what they need to be happy. They start to try to identify themselves. You don't see any goth kids in first grade. You don't see any punk rockers in kindergarten. It's only around middle school and high school that we start to try to identify ourselves, that we lose ourselves from the moment, that we take ourselves away from the present time and begin to determine and box and label. And instead of thinking about the joy, being present like a child can be, they start to think about every other thing. The devil lies to them. Whispers things about what people are thinking, about what they should do, about what they should be. And it gets worse and worse and worse as we get older. The devil has lied to us in big and small ways. The devil lies to you about your job. He lies to you about your marriage. He lies to you about your kids. He lies to you about your health. I'll be happy once this. I lie awake at night sometimes and think, am I going to die alone? Am I going to be an old man just dying alone? That's the enemy's lies. He's trying to scare me. He's trying to take me out of the moment where I should be grateful and make me think of a future that's scary. We get lied to over and over and over and over, and because we're not aware of it, because we're not practicing the daily prayer and meditation that we should be, we get crankier and crankier. Of all of the people that are difficult at Trader Joe's and every restaurant I've been in, 99% of them are older people. Somewhere along the line, the devil starts whispering, kids these days. We get worked up about things that matter not at all to us. I had a teacher rant and rave to me about transgender issues. Well, what about the bathroom, Gabe? What about this and that and the other? Driving themselves crazy. There are no current transgender students at our school. Do you understand what I'm saying? When I was a kid, we didn't have to deal with that. That's the problem. This generation. And they just slowly become embittered by it. For what? Is your anger going to make fewer transgender children? Don't let him rob from you. Don't let him scare you about the future or chastise you about the past. I have another Bible verse to back me up, Hector, so you'll believe me. John chapter 4, verse 34 and 38. He's been at the well with the Samaritan woman. He's drinking the water, and they say, they're trying to get him, his disciples trying to take care of him, right? Trying to get him food. And he says, Jesus says to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me, to accomplish his work. Do not say, there are yet 4 months, and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look to the fields, that they are white for harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and is gathering fruit for life eternal, so that he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. At my job, I used to compare myself all the time about what I had to do versus what other people had to do. So I'd see a teacher who has a class that's only like 10, and I have a class of 30. And the enemy wants me focused on the disparity there. How much more work I have to do than this person. And yet I'm not getting paid more. He who sows and he who reaps will rejoice together. Because when we're truly happy and present in our lives, listening to the Holy Spirit, it does not matter who else is getting. Whether you're the reaper or the sower, if you're acting in accordance with his will, you will be happy. The field is ripe for harvest. In 3 months, I'm going to reap my harvest. Last night, as I was mopping the dirty floors, in 12 hours, I will reap my harvest. When I get this new job, I will reap my harvest. When I get the new car, I will reap my harvest. It's right here, right now, ready for us to take. It's time to harvest your fields. There is nothing that you need that you don't have. And the first person that needs to realize that is this guy. I wake up constantly thinking, planning, strategizing. I'm thinking of a master plan. once this happens, dude, it's when it all comes together, Judd. Right here and now, the fields are ripe for harvest. They weren't ripe when you were a kid. They won't be ripe in the summertime. They're ripe right now. The Lord also talks about harvesting the grain and threshing the wheat. In one of my history classes, we talk about how hard it was to make bread. My son orders Postmates constantly. It's like, I always get, because he uses my account, because I have the premium account. So I've been like, you know, Chipotle is preparing your order, right? Chick-fil-A is preparing your order. He doesn't know about how hard it used to be to make bread. But you had to plant the seeds, and then you had to, like, harvest them, and then you had to, like, thresh them. That means you beat it with a stick so the grains separate from the chaff, and then you got to winnow the thing, and the chaff blows away, and then you have the seeds. The enemy has lied to us and said, those are people, and the bad people get burned up, and the good people stay and get taken into that barn heaven. But the Holy Spirit is winnowing, and he winnows out all of the things that are useless in our lives that are holding us back. If you are prepared to harvest right now and practicing your prayer and meditation time, the Holy Spirit will winnow out all of the thoughts that are keeping you from getting your happiness right now, all of your stresses and worries. I get an email from a parent that I disagree with, and then the enemy winds me up about it. Do you understand? It's my life was going fine, quote unquote, and then this thing comes in, and the enemy lies to me that somehow my life has become not fine. And then all of my attention, like the eye of Sauron, focuses on this one thing and robs me of my happiness. But when I am plugged in with the Holy Spirit, I winnow it out. All of the chaff, all of the things holding me back, blown away. And the grain remains. The goodness remains. And I often talk about my own time because you got to figure out for yourself. But I have seen a marked difference in my own life, in my own happiness. So last night, as I was mopping the floor, feeling sorry for myself, the Holy Spirit started harvesting the wheat. And he blew it away. All of those pity party thoughts, all of those comparisons about how other people my age are not mopping a toilet, all of those things that were robbing me of my happiness, he blew them away. And in that moment, in that dirty, dark, stinky bathroom, I said, thank you, Lord. And then I mopped that floor, dude. You could have eaten off that floor. Peace and happiness. And then I walked forth. Did some other menial task. And for a brief few moments, I knew the truth. The truth that my happiness is not relevant to other things. It's only relevant to my dedication to myself and my pilgrimage. And that if I'm faithful to myself, that he will guide me through. And he'll winnow out the nonsense and he'll help me hold on to the good stuff. Regardless of where it's written, regardless of what it said, because I already have it. You already have it. You just need the winnowing fork to blow that chaff away. Be mindful of the whataboutisms. Be mindful of the comparisons. Be mindful of what you deserve and what you are owed. They'll hold you back, dude. If somehow when I was unconscious and thinking of my fellow teachers the other day, if they had taken away some of my students or made the other person do my grading, would then I have been like, yep, now I'm happy. It would have just been another thing. I mean, yeah, well, they don't have to do the field trip. Do you understand? If you're in a spirit where you're thinking about everything else, about all of the things that have to happen before you get what you deserve, you're not going to be happy. That's why Jesus talks about the wealthy man so much. There's nothing wrong with money. You need money. But the more money you have, even Biggie Smalls knew it. More money, more problems. The more money you have, often the more things that demand your attention. Nobody's coming up to a broke man asking them for their attention, but Jeff Bezos gets bombarded with emails. It's not about the wealth that makes it bad. It's about all of the things that a wealthy man has to think about that will come before their own pilgrimage. So Jesus says, put it all away. Follow me. But then the rich man says, but I want all this stuff. It's not the stuff that's bad. It's the mindset that I need this stuff to be happy. It's not the video games that are going to keep me away. It's not the beer that's going to keep me away. It's my fixation on them, my fixation that I need them to be happy. If I can be happy without them, then they're just gravy. The man who lays down his life will bring it back up. Be happy. Don't worry. Be happy. People say, oh, that's easy for you to say. It's not. I spent my entire life miserable and anxious. I couldn't be around people eating because they crunched too loud. I couldn't drive without punching the roof because all of these people aren't as good as driving at me. But the Lord has winnowed out a little bit. A little bit. Just a tiny bit. I have not given the finger to anyone in years. Thank you, Lord. I have not had to leave a room for somebody eating chips in a very long time. He's winnowed it out. That may not bother you at all. But you got some winnowing to do. What is it? Is it a fear of the future? This phantasm that you create in your mind? That's keeping you from being happy right now? Is it regret of the past? Things you could have done differently that keep you from being happy right now? Is it your fixation on other people or material things? Every time Aiden doesn't come to church, I bang on him, so I'm going to bang on him. Is his 2 more hours of sleep going to make him happy? He always says, Dad, I'm going to come to church next Sunday. And he doesn't set his alarm. Right? Because it's not a priority. He's not going to find happiness in those other things. As a father, I can talk at him all I want. But it's not until he's ready to winnow. When my father took a picture of me when I was in high school and I was a punk rocker and I spiked my hair and looked all crazy. My dad took a picture, said, one day you're going to think this is silly. He just doesn't get it. He just doesn't get it. How could he? Right? I'm like, Dad, it looked pretty silly. Got to winnow it out. Not for them, for me. If and when I do, I will be happy everywhere I go. Not grinning like an idiot, not doing somersaults down, but a peace that passeth understanding, because all of us as we currently sit think, that's not possible. If I went outside to a person who doesn't buy any of this, and I said, the Lord wants you to be happy all the time. Oh, they want me to even be happy when I'm using the restroom? And they can't get it. They don't understand it. This idea that regardless of your circumstances, you can be happy. And they say, that is baloney. And then they take drugs and they drink and they get money and they do all of the things that I do not condemn them for because I've been there. But none of it is going to make you happy if you are not currently happy now. And you think, well, oh yeah, well maybe when I pray and I do it every day and I work and I do all this and then I lose the weight that I want to do and I do all this, then I'll be happy. Wrong, 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 wrong. Right now, 12:19 on Super Bowl Sunday, you can be happy. It's yours. It's ready to harvest. It's ready to harvest. Take it back. Rebuke the liar. And be mindful. Do your prayer time every day. Not for the Lord. He's already in heaven. So that he can help you. Wash it out. So that when I go to school and the enemy starts to lie to me about my students or about my coworkers or about my boss or about my kids, he winnows it out. That's not important, Gabe. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and the rest will be added to you. You're not losing it. It just can't be the priority. You don't have to stop playing video games. You don't have to give up cheeseburgers. Seek the Lord, and he'll tell you what to do. Minute by minute, hour by hour, by your standard of measure. You only do a little bit, you only get a little bit. But 30 minutes less of being on Instagram is not going to kill you. Starting your day with prayer is not going to kill you. In fact, it's going to save your life. Winnow it out. And reap it all. Because I'm telling you, it's awesome. In the little bit that I've had, it is so awesome. And I can't tell you how liberating it feels to just all of a sudden be at peace. Mopping the floor. Not grinding my teeth. The Lord revealed to me, Gabe, you're clenched like you're about to do squats. He said, let it go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And then mop the floor. Thank you, Lord. And then respond to the email. Thank you, Lord. And then let the idiots drive in front of you. And you will be the one who reaps all of the benefits. Be blessed this week. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. Be blessed. So good. Just want to drink it in, Steve. Telling you, to the top. We're all going to the top. And the closing prayer, and Grandma's going to come in and play. Lord, thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness. Remind us this week, Lord. Remind us this week. In our darkest times, in our busiest times, Lord, remind us then. Help us winnow out the lies of the enemy. Help us to winnow out the lies, Lord, and hold on to your truth. And be happy, be grateful, and be peaceful, be loving. You say that they'll know you, and they'll know us by our love. Help us be those people, Lord. Protect us and heal us. Bring us back next week filled with praise reports. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.